This whole chapter, chapter 7 here, 1 Corinthians, is about marriage. They asked Paul, asked him some questions about marriage. And let's start reading together at verse 25. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. Yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they bought not, possessed not, and they that use the world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried care for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married care for the things of the that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But she that is married care for the things of the world, and how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may tend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and need not so require, let him do what he will, he sinneth not, let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power of his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. Marriage is an extremely, extremely important subject. In fact, when God created a woman and took her from the side of man, the scripture says that Adam says, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." And says that the two shall be made one, and that for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother. And there wasn't even a father and a mother at the time, just nobody but Adam and Eve. And for this cause shall man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife. Marriage is a serious and a sacred institution. And I know it's been disregarded. It's been impugned. It's been ridiculed. Divorce and living together now, that's the norm. People have no regard for it one way or another. Not embarrassed by it, not ashamed of it, and have no trouble with it. But from the beginning, it was not so. From the beginning, it was not so. And here these Corinthians had asked the Apostle Paul about marriage. And you know, and he started talking about marriage, the women having, you know, the husbands and wives, benevolent one to another, good one to another. Their bodies are one another's bodies. And then he started talking about that the whatever calling, you're called to abide in that calling. Whether you're married, to abide in that calling. Whether you're a free man or that. And then he returns again, now to resumes the subject of marriage. He says here in verse 25, Now I'm going to resume this subject of marriage. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. And what he's saying is here, he says, I have no commandment, God gave concerning virgins, whether a boy, a male, or a female virgin. He says, concerning them in marriage, I have no commandment for the Lord, what you're to do with it. I have no commandment about that. But I can give you my counsel. He said, I can give you my counsel. I give you my judgment, my advice. And it was much more than the advice of a wise man. It was much more than the advice of someone that has some counseling ability. But he says here, as I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. And he says, that's why I can give my advice. And as you ask for it, I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to give you my judgment. And that's not a commandment from God. I'm just telling you what my judgment is. How I look at these things and what I think needs to be done about it. And the reason I do this, and he was so thankful for the mercy of God that God gave him. He said, everything I did it in ignorantly and unbelief. I persecuted the church of God. I mistreated God's people. I mistreated the Lord Jesus Christ. I was a bull. I was a self-righteous Pharisee, but I'd done it ignorantly and unbelief, but I obtained mercy of the Lord. So he was a man who was so enthralled with the mercy of God, he saw himself in such a horrible state, in such a blasphemer, such a wicked man, that God would give him mercy. And then not only give him mercy, but cause him to be faithful and count him faithful. So he says, that's the reason why, because God's enabled me to be faithful. And then he says down here in verse 26, I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress, I say, that it is good for a man so to be. Now he's talking about a man to be like him, man to be unmarried. And the reason he says it's good for a man to be as myself because of the present distress. And what the present distress was, evidently there was distress actually present or impending. And let me give you an idea of what he's talking about. Look over in Luke 21, 23 with me for a moment. You know, the believers in those days, they were constantly under persecution, constantly under distress, constantly impending danger. And that's why Paul said it's better. And you go finding out how he suffered. If he had had a wife and he had had all the sufferings that he had, what would his wife have dealt with? When this man's traveling all over the world, he has perils of robbers, perils of false brethren, shipwrecked, persecuted, put in prison. What would his wife would have done while he's in prison for the gospel's sake? So this is why he said it's better because of the present distress. And his people, the Lord's people at this time, were in great distress. I mean, the Romans decreed, even before Paul was still an apostle, every Jew had to leave Rome. You had to take your children, you had to take your wife, you had to take your babies. And if you had babies, you had to get up and get out of Rome. You had to leave your home, you had to leave your house, you had to leave your job, and you had to get out of Rome. And so you see what he's doing. That's why you know he feels this way about these things. But look here in Luke 21, 23. Talking about this distress. He said, but woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And all beloved, that's why he said, for the present distress, it's better for men to be like me. Because of the time of persecution, time of affliction. That's why I said it'd be better if believers remained unmarried. You remember when Peter, James, and John, I mean, that's the first time they preached there. I mean, the first day after, right after Pentecost, they started preaching, and they brought them in before the Sanhedrin and beat them and made them swear not to, tried to get them to swear not to mention his name again. So that was the situation these people were in. And you know, you start thinking about you having hard trouble. I mean, you're under persecution all the time, and you got to move and be on the run all the time, hunt down like a dog, like a partridge on the hill. Would you want to be married and have to worry about you? That's what Paul said. That's why it's better for a man to be like me in the present distress. And he continues his advice here in verse 27. He said, are you bound unto a wife? And that's what it amounts to. You're bound unto a wife. You're married, you're legally married, and you've got responsibilities to that wife. He said, don't seek to be loose from her. Just because you're having trouble and there's persecution and affliction, don't try to be loose from her. Art thou loose from a wife if you're not married to a wife? Then don't you go looking for a wife because of this present distress and all the afflictions that's going on. And all, beloved, don't seek, because these people lived in terrible times. And then he goes on to say here then in verse 28. But he said, but if you marry, you have not sinned. Evidently, there were such things going on, fornication and And people just, and they said, well, if we get married, would we sin if we got married? With all this trouble and all this distress, would we sin if we got married? And Paul says this, he says, listen, but if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. Marriage is a good thing if God is in it and God blesses you to have it. Nothing wrong with being, no sin in getting married. And he says here, and if a virgin marries, she hath not sinned. And evidently, you know, they worried about those kind of things. And look what Paul goes on to say here. Now, why would he have to say they have not sinned? To get married, to not sin? Now, I'll tell you, it's and he's talking to believers now here. And he said, if you marry, you've not sinned. You know, you're not sinning in marriage. You're not committing a sin in marriage. You'd commit sin if you went into fornication. You'd commit sin if you didn't live to the glory of God. But look what he goes on to say. She hath not sinned, whether you marry or virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, this is what he says. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. Now what does he mean by that? Well, when you take on marriage, you take on a responsibility that you never had before. I mean, you've got great responsibilities. And you know when you get married, you've got to start making a living, you're going to start raising a family, and if you've got a wife, or you've got a husband, and you're in these persecution times, and these times that these saints were afflicted in, and these times that these people were going through at that time, and if you got married, you're talking about physical troubles, spiritual troubles, earthly troubles, having to watch out and protect. You know, just take our Lord's mother and her husband. Here they was, he was just a tiny baby, and Herod sent word out, go find this, I want every infant under 2 years old, I want him in every infant that you find male infant, I want them killed, and I don't care who they are, who their mom is, I don't care how they cry, how they beg, I want them dead. I want them dead. So what does he do? Mary and Joseph warned the Lord, and they went down into Egypt. Now that's what he's talking about here. And also, you're going to have trouble in your flesh. You're going to have vexation. You're going to have arguments. You're going to have disagreements. And I'll tell you, anybody that says those people have good marriages. But there ain't nobody ever had a marriage that they didn't have trouble with their flesh about. Ain't that right? Sometimes one's a dog and the other's a cat. Sometimes they're both dogs and sometimes they're both cats. But sometimes it's oil and water. And there ain't no sense denying it. But that's what he says. And he goes on to say here in the last part of this, verse 28. But I spare you. I spare you. What does he mean? He said, I spare you. He was concerned that they be spared from these troubles. You be spared from these troubles. If you don't get married, you won't have these troubles. You won't have these anxieties. You won't have these responsibilities. You won't have these worries. You won't have these troubles that you'd have. And I believe, and you know, and the thing is, it said, why, over there in Genesis, when it says, you know, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, that's what our Lord said about us. We're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And the only reason marriage is on this earth is to show and reveal the reunion that God's people have with Christ. And it's a picture of our marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we're to be one flesh, to have this union. And that's the whole reason behind it. And then Paul's trying to tell folks that this is such a serious business. Marriage is so serious, and it troubles me. I've never had a marriage yet that I haven't set folks down and talked to them and stressed to them how important. You're entering into one of the most sacred, serious things that you could possibly enter into. And once you say, till death do us part, for rich or for poor, for better or for worse, through sickness and health, and you say those vows before God himself, that means that what it says, I'm going to stay with them. What if they get polio? What if they get cancer and they start dying? Till death do us part. And Paul's trying to spare them here. I'm trying to spare you and show you that you don't have these troubles in the flesh. If you have children, then you put children in the mix and they start trying to raise children in a world like these people lived in. It'd be a tough situation, wouldn't it? But he goes on to say here now, he says, so I spared you. I was concerned to want to spare you from these troubles. And he says in verse 29, and he says here's another reason he gives why people shouldn't get married, and if they do, what's going to happen? But I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. And they that use this world is not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. What he's saying here, brethren, the time is short. Our time, whatever time we have, is short. And whatever time we have in this world, it's a short time. Our days are on earth are so short. Who would have ever dreamed? When you was 20 years old, did you thought, man, boy, 40 is a long way off. It wasn't near as far off as you thought it was it? And when you got 40, 60, boy, that's a long way from here. That was even closer than the 40. And the time is short. And that's what he's talking about. Our days on earth are short and they're full of trouble.
Yes.
Full of trouble. There's not a family in this building right here tonight that hasn't had troubles. And your time's been short, and your days have been short, you've buried people, you've had people sick, you've had heartaches, you've had sorrows, you've had griefs, you've had troubles, you've had sickness, you've had affliction. And that's another reason why Paul says that we should not marry. And he says, and here it says, the time is short, and both they that have wives be as though they had none. That means, beloved, time is so short that you'll get to the time that you'll realize, well, listen, this time has went by so fast that it's almost like my life didn't even exist, and it'd be as though they didn't even have a wife when time is so short. So your affection is not ought to be just given wholly to the wife. Our affection ought to be set on things above. And he goes on to say, and it'll be the time will be as though they that wept as though they wept not. I'm just holding loose to these things. We weep here now, but the time's coming. It'll be as if we never wept. I mean, this time is short. We're going to go be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why with these wives we have and our husbands and that, we hold loosely to them. We love them as Christ loved the church. And we want to have a wonderful relationship. But at the same time, every relationship we have is temporary. Temporary. Some of you have done lost husbands and wives. That's a temporary. Get married again, you're still going to leave another one. That's why it says, those that weep as if they wept not, and they that rejoice as though raging. Oh, we rejoiced in all the things that God did. But all this rejoicing will be ended one of these days. It'll be gone. Because this life will be done. And oh, and everything that we buy, go and buy and get and all that. He said it'll be as though they had no possessions whatsoever. And what he said, hold this world and hold it loosely. Everything we got is so temporary and so... And when it's all said and done, beloved, it's so shallow and so empty and so vain when it comes to this relationship with Christ. I love my wife and I love my kids, but I know as God's on His throne that it's temporary. Me and Mary are going to leave one another one of these days. I'm going to leave my children behind one of these days, or they're going to leave me behind one of these days. I know that. And that's why he's talking about here. That's the reason why it'd be better not to marry, because this time is so short. And always, whatever time you've got, cherish that time and redeem that time and reuse it wisely and use it to the glory of God. But hold loosely to it, because I tell you, this relationship we have with Christ, that's the most important. That's the most necessary. You know, I'm telling Ben Brad was talking about, when a man gets converted by the grace of God, that's when, no, it was Doug and I this morning. We was talking about it. When a man gets saved by the grace of God, he loves his wife and he loves, but when God saves him and opens his heart and gives him the grace of God, it takes it to a whole nother level. A whole nother level. But yet at the same time, we understand how precious it is and how temporary it is. That's one of those. That's why Paul said, we weep, but it'll be like we never wept. We rejoice, but it'll be a crisis if we rejoice not. All the things that we possess, be as if we didn't have a thing. Be as if we had nothing. And then he goes on to say here, nothing in this world is permanent. Nothing, nothing. And then he goes over here, and that's what he meant, set your affection on things above. And that verse 31 says, and they that use this world is not abusing it. We're in this world. And we use this world. You got to make a living in the world. This world, we have to use it. You have to go and get things out of the world and all that. But what he says is abusing it, don't over. Use it over much. Why? Because the fashion, the elements of it will just pass away. The way it appears right now, it won't be the way it will be in this time. And let me just give you an illustration. Look at, you know, look at how we view the world right now. How do you view the world different than you did when you was young? Are you concerned about the fashion of it? And what the world thinks and what the world considers and the world's opinion? Huh? And oh, beloved, hold loosely to everything. And I'm telling you, beloved, I know this. And I'm serious about this. This world is so fast and so quick and so temporary and so full of heartache and sorrow. And we'll rejoice in now. We weep at times. And we rejoice at times. And God's gave us some wonderful things. But every one of them is just... It's just... What did he say? Well, James said it like this. What is your life? It's a vapor. It appeareth for a time and then vanishes away. And oh, that's what he's talking about. Then look in verse 32 and verse 33. But I would have you without carefulness, without worry, without anxiety, without full of care. And here's the reason being, he that is unmarried cares for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, that he may please his wife. And I don't want you to be full of care. I'm not saying this to cause you to have anxiety and worry and fretfulness, telling you about the things that's happening and how frail life is and how temporary it is. And this is the third reason Paul gives for these people to remain unmarried. The first was the increased sufferings that marriage would bring with it. The second was how temporary the nature of all earthly things are. And the third is freedom from care connected with this life. He says a man that's unmarried, he's interested in the things of Christ, the things of God. Now he's talking to saved people here. The world ain't concerned about those things. But he's interested in the things of God, the things of Christ. But he says to he that's married, he has responsibilities. And it's right to be this way. He that cares, because you know, it's a man that does not care for his own family and provide for his house, he's worse than an infidel and denied the faith. And what he says is, he that is married cares for the things of the world. And why does he care for the things of the world? Got to get out there and get it instead and fetch it. Because he wants to please his wife. Tell a little story. True story. Went to get a haircut last Monday. Sit down in the chair. I said, Mary told me to get in here and get a haircut. Said, I wouldn't be here getting a haircut if Mary didn't tell me. She said, she was tired of looking at it. She said, yeah, I've always heard when Mama's happy, everybody's happy. I said, that's the reason I'm in here getting a haircut, because Mary said, I care for the things of the world, I care to please my wife. It's just, you know, you laugh at that, but that's the truth. If my hair being cut makes her happy, I'm going to keep it cut. And she knows what it takes to keep me. That's exactly what Paul. We care for the things. We care for the things of her wife. Care for the things. We care for they want clothes. We care for the clothes they wear. We care for the home. A home for me is a place to. If men live by themselves, we would live like it'd be awful how our houses would look. It'd be horrible. And that's why God gave us wives. You know, and because you just think about how we would live. And that's why, and just as we care for the, we want our wife to have a nice home. We want to have the dishes she wants, to buy the food that she likes to cook, wear the clothes she likes to wear. And that's what Paul's talking about. We care for those things. We care for those things. And what kind of man wouldn't care for it? A man that don't care for those things, a man doesn't love his wife. And then he goes on to say here now in verse 34. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman care for the things of the Lord that she may be holy both in body and in spirit, but she that is married cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And all he goes to say here is just, there's a difference between a virgin and a wife. Do you know the? And there is. The virgin's unmarried. She's never married. She's a woman. She cares for the things of Christ. She cares for the things of the world. She wants to be holy in her body and in her spirit. She wants to commit herself to Christ. But she that is married cares for the things of the world, and I need not say anything else here, but how she may please her husband. I don't think they're as interested in pleasing us as they are pleasing themselves. They're more. I'm not trying to be funny, but I think they're more interested in us caring for them and pleasing them than they are. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have got into that. Oh boy. But you know, you all know what you do. You know what it is. You want to cook, you know, if your husband likes a certain meal. I told Mary the other day I wanted something that, and yesterday she fixed a double batch of it. I said, I like that so good. Don't just fix it like you did last time. Fix it two of them. She fixed two of them. Why? Because she wants to please me. Wants to please me. And there's just simple things like that. If I mention I need a pair of shoes or a shirt or something, next thing you know, I got a half a dozen. You know, that's just, and that's what we do. We care. We want to please one another. We want to see that the wives want the homes clean and that, and so that the husband comes home, she wants food on the table for him, wants her clothes clean. Those are the things that they're interested in, and it should be that way. It should be that way. And then he goes on to say here in verse 35, and he said, and the reason I speak these things is for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, that you may attend unto the Lord without distraction. He said, I'm speaking these things for your benefit, to profit you. I say these things for your own welfare and for your profit, not to put restrictions on you, not to put burdens on you. I want to promote your comfort when he says that which is comely. I want to promote your comfort. I want to promote your good, that you may attend to the things of God without distraction, without having any distractions. And that's what he talks about in marriage. You know, you wouldn't have any distractions. Now he comes down here, and from here on, from verse 36, he's talking to fathers here until we get down to verse 39. Talking to fathers. And he says, but if any man, verse 36, he's talking to a father now, but if any man that think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and needs so require, let him do what he will, he sinneth not, let them marriage. And what he's saying here, now he's addressing people, and here's another thing about this situation. Back then they arranged marriages. And it was a tradition for a woman to be married at a certain age, and if she wasn't married at a certain age, there was something wrong with her. You know, and that's the way there was. And that's what he's saying, if a man thinks, you know, and wants to give his daughter in marriage, and needs so require, let him do it. He's not sinning in doing that. He's not sinning in doing that. And if she wants to be married, desires to be married, and he gives her in marriage, and that's what he says there, let him do what he will. He says, not let them be married. Who's to be married? The virgin and the groom. The father gives the virgin away and gives her in marriage, and he's not sinned in doing that. But he goes on down here to say, but now he goes shows you that's here another side of it. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. And what he's talking about here is, well, there's no necessity for marriage. He doesn't feel like it's necessary that he marries his daughter off. He doesn't feel like it's necessary for her to get married. And if this woman, this virgin, has the gift, has the ability, to the character to contain herself, and this father has power of his own will and determined not to be married, he does well. He don't bring reproach or shame, and she doesn't, and bring reproach and shame on her and her remaining single. And that's what he's talking about here. If he wants, if he's got it in his heart, and his daughter don't need to be married, there's no necessity of it. And his daughter's not saying, I want to be married, and don't feel no necessity to it. And he says, well, I'll keep her, and she'll stay in my home. And there's no shame in that, but not giving her in marriage. And there's no shame in giving her in marriage. No sin in either one of them. So then, and you know, you fathers, I don't know how many of y'all done this, but when it's time for your daughters to get married, you sure enough start thinking about it, don't you? Who they going to marry, what kind of life they going to have, and what their son-in-law is going to be like, and it's going to be any count. Is he going to work? What is your mama going to deal with him? And that's what he's talking about here. That's what he's talking about here. So then, in verse 38, so then he that giveth her in marriage, he does good. He does a good thing. He does well. But he that giveth her not in marriage, don't feel the necessity to give her in marriage, don't have to follow tradition or custom, and the things that people do in their day and age, he said he does even better. And then he winds this thing up saying this. Now he says, now you, if you're married and you're a wife, and this goes for husbands too, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. I mean, beloved, as long as your husband liveth, whether you're living together or not. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty. She's free to marry whom she will. But here's the thing. Only in the Lord. Only in the Lord. Only in the Lord. And I tell you, and I know, let's see how much time I got. Oh man, I'm not taking any time at all. I've known people that's taken off, left their husband, left their wife, took up with somebody else. And this is, I'm going to tell you the way it is. I'm going to tell you what Scripture says about that. And I'm talking about people who profess to be believers, preachers, deacons, church members. It makes no difference. If a husband or a wife leaves somebody and goes marry somebody else, I'm going to tell you something. They have committed adultery in their marriage. And if that other one, who the one's left, she gets married, they've committed adultery. That's why if you can't live together, and you don't intend to live together, you're bound until that husband or wife dies, you're bound by the law of God to them until they're dead. And then when they're dead, you can get married again. And if you're a believer, only in the Lord. And I don't have that much confidence in anybody that professes to be a believer and takes up with another man or another woman. I don't have an iota of it. I don't care if they're a preacher, and I don't care if they're still preaching. I know we're not, and there was a preacher friend of mine. He just told his wife one time, said, I'm sick of you, sick of this marriage, sick of everything about it. Next thing you know, he is off with another woman. When told the church, he says, me and my wife separated. Got up, get ready to preach, showed up on Sunday morning, me and my wife got separated last week. And the church had sense enough to say, well, you can't preach. You can't preach. You can't get up here and preach. That's what the Lord said to that woman at the well. Said that, you know, it's right. You've been married 5 times, but the person you're living with now is not your husband. Evidently, she'd had 5 husbands and they all died. Or else she had one living and so the one she had now. And that's why he says when you're married and you profess to be a believer, I mean, it's really till death do you part, or else you're going to end up living in adultery. Is that not right? Our Lord's just as clear on that as a bell. And then when she does, when the husband dies or the wife dies, they're only free to marry him to whom she will in the Lord. And look what Paul goes on to say, and I'm through. But she is happier if she so abide what? Unmarried. After my judgment. Now again, he says, just after my judgment. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God. Evidently there were people who were trying to talk about this and they thought they had all the answers. And Paul said, I think that I have the Spirit of God. I think the Spirit of God in me. I think the Spirit of God in me, and I have the mind of the Spirit in this matter, and I think the Holy Spirit is the one who's taught me these things and advised me to give this advice to you and give you this judgment. And I'm glad we're done with that chapter.